Okay, let's talk a little bit of just a few minutes about Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim is a very interesting Yom Tov. Rambam speaks. What is the in? The Megillah is very clear that there's no holiday for us here in Chutz Liar. It's Me'ikar Hadin, because the holiday on Purim is on the 14th day. Outside of Shushan HaBiur, the Jewish people were allowed to go to war on the 13th day of Adar. And the 14th day of Adar is the day they rested. V'nochu me'oyeveihem. That's it. It's over. It's over. The holiday is over. The war took place on Tainis Esther. The celebration was on the 14th day, the day after, and every year we commemorate. And on the 15th day, for us who are B'nai Chutz Liaretz, really has no major significance. The Ramah says, however, no, since in Shushan HaBira, and for that matter, all of the cities that have walls, Mimos, Yoshua Ben Nun, and Yerushalayim, Chavad Yerushalayim, that is the exception. They celebrate on the 15th day. So in Chutz Yaretz, there's also a small minor holiday, V'noyhagim Kitsas Simcha. I forgot his exact words, but there's a minute to have a Kitsas, a little bit of Simcha, a little Suda, a little Yayin, to be noy Kitsas. What is this Indian, this specialty about Shushan Purim that the Ramah is referring to have a minor simcha? So first I'll tell you some Purim Torah. Okay, this is Purim Torah. I saw this morning. There was a chassid who, in the old bells, they didn't celebrate Shushan Purim at all. That's what it says in the books, in the records. Until one day a chassid went to the Rebbe, I'm not sure which Rebbe, and he said to him, let me ask you, Noach, in the Torah, the one who built the Teva, that Noach, was he a tzaddik or not a tzaddik? So the Rebbe says, Avad is a tzaddik. It says in the Pasuk, V'noach ish tzaddik, tamim hoya b'day roisaf. So the Chassid said to him, if that's the case, so what do you have against the 15th day of Adar? It says, V'noach b'chamisha osa. V'noach on the 15th day. So suppose the Rebbe said, you're right. I don't know why that triggered the celebration, but from that day and onward, it seems that that was not the bells. This was the Shinova Rebbe. Mikanul Haba, they did celebrate. Now this year is a very interesting year in that the 15th day is Erev Shabbos. This is not so common, and there's a very big nafkmin, and this is interesting in bells, not in our average shul here in Flatbush, but tonight, are you going to say Kabbalah Shabbos? Of course. You're going to go to shul tonight. L'chun erana l'Hashem, l'chadoidi. You're going to go to the full Kabbalah Shabbos. Supposedly in bells, they don't say tonight Kabbalah Shabbos. Because just like if it was Yom Tov going into Shabbos, you don't have Kabbalah, you don't say Kabbalah Shabbos on a Friday. That's a Yom Tov going into Shabbos because of the Yom Tov. It's not, it's a pechis in the covenant of the Yom Tov.
They said anyhow, Yom Tov going into Shabbos for many, by the Shinova, they said the first two and last.
Oh, that's what they do. So that's what bells do. That's what they do tonight. So minag bells, this is what it says, that when Shushan Purim comes out on a Friday, being that it's a Yimei Nishtev Simcha, it's a real Yom Tov, tonight in Shul, they do not say the full Kabbalah Shabbos. They just say whatever the condensed version, Nusach Sfar, they have
a
Mizm, of course, Mizm Olodavid, and they do two and two, the beginning, and what do they do? They do the first one,
the first two
and the last, but what about the Mizmarim, the six Mizmarim?
The last one they do.
The last one, the first, then the Chododi, and then you go into Mizmar Shir Liyoyim HaShabbos. Ad kidei kach, because so halav is samecha. It's a Yom Tov. That's how far the Yom Tov goes. Okay, now I saw another very nice part about the Inyan. The Inyan, what? That's what they do in bells, because they hold it's a Yom Tov. It says now I saw an idea. I'll read you the psukim. Something in the deacon the psukim of to show the significance of Shushan Purim. Let me. Of course, tefillin. Of course, you put tefillin on Purim. You put tefillin on. That Shushan Purim is not any better. In the Megillah, when Esther originally wanted to make the holiday, Pasuk says, "Let me find the Pasuk." Vayomelchli Esther.
Vayichtoiv Mordechai es hadvarim ho'ele. Vayishlach sefarim el kol ha'yudim asher b'chol midros ha'melech ha'chashverosh shakrim ha'rechokim. What was Mordechai's instructions? Lekayim aleim esimei ha'elioi sasim esimei esyoim. Here are his instructions. The 14th day, Yom Arba'o Asor L'Chodesh Adar. That's number one. Number two, the Ace. Yom Chamish Asor Yom Asor Bo B'Chol Shana V'Shana. And then Pasuk Chav Beis. This next Pasuk is a critical Pasuk in what Mordechai's original Kavanu was. Kayomim. The reason why I'm writing letters that we should celebrate 2 days, it should be parallel to the way the miracle happened. Kayomim asher nochu, they rested. Vohem hayudim me'oyveihem, v'achloydeh shenepach lochem yogan l'simcho, me'evel li'yom tov, la'asos v'osam yimei mishtem v'simcho, m'shloch monos ish l'reir matanos lo'avionim. So here Mordechai is very, very, very explicit. The reason why we're going to have day 14, day 15 is it should be a parallel kayomim asher nochu, 14:15. But then the pasuk goes on to say that when they actually accepted the minhag, the kibel hayudim es asher chil asos the es asher kosav Mordechai lehem, and it goes on to say al kain karu. They go goes on to say what exactly they did. It says there's no mention of kimu v'kiblu hayudim. Aleim v'al zarim v'al kol hanilvim aleim v'lo yavar liyosa sim eshnei hayomim ho'ele kichsavam v'chizmanam v'chol shana v'shana. It does not make any mention of asher nochu. Kayomim asher nochu. So this some of Mepharshim want to learn is why there is an inyan of the makar for Shushan Purim. It's a very difficult question why at all there should be any small degree of simcha on Shushan Purim. Because the holiday is only a one-day holiday. There's really nothing special about the second day. So some want to say the remez comes from these two psukim. Mordechai, it's true, his original kavana was that there should be only a 14 and a 15. The 2 days are mutually exclusive. But when the Jews actually accepted the holiday, kimu v'kiblu hayehudim aleim v'alzam v'al kol hanivim aleim v'lo yavar, it says lios osim eshnei hayimim ho'ela. They accepted both days. And they didn't differentiate. They didn't discriminate. Not like the original Kavanah was Asher Nochu. There's no mention of Asher Nochu in the Pasuk of the Kabbalah like there was in the Pasuk of the Mitzvah. And therefore there is an inyan to be Mesameach on the 15th day. That's one of the reasons why we do indeed celebrate day 15 to some degree. The Kabbalah was even greater than the instruction. Okay, that's one idea. I came across another very nice idea. We know that on Sukkot, we have at the end of Sukkot, we have Shmini Atzeres. And Shmini Atzeres is a very holy Yom Tov, and it's described in the Torah with the words V'choyisa Ach Sameach. Ach is a miyut. Ach means mimimayit. What's the meaning? Well, what are we coming to diminish on Shmini Atzeres that we had before? So the Mepharshim tell us that on the 7 days of Sukkot, there are many mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of Sukkah. There's the mitzvah of the Dalaminim. Well, Dalaminim, let's say in Yerushalayim, is every single day. And there's the mitzvah of the Karbonos. And there's the mitzvah of Vesamachta Bechagecha. There are multiple mitzvahs that we do during the 7 days of Sukkot. Shmini Atzeres, all of the other mitzvahs fall away. The mitzvah of Dalad Minim fall away, the mitzvah of Sukkah falls away, all the special Korbanos fall away. What are you left with at the end of Sukkot? V'hoyisa Ach Sameach. The only thing that's consistent, that goes from the beginning of Sukkot to the very end of Sukkot, is Simcha. All the other mitzvahs fall away and we're only left with Ach Sameach. The same thing is true for Shushan Purim. On Purim, there are many mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah of Mishloch Manos, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, the mitzvah of Matanis Lev Yonim, and the mitzvah of Simcha. Shmini Atzeres, it's V'hoyisa Ach Sameach. It's a day of Yimei, Mishteh V'Simcha. But the other mitzvahs fall away. The mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, Mikra Matanis Lev Yonim, all the mitzvahs, those, they all fall away. There's no Alan Nisim anymore. So what are you left with on Shushan Purim that you don't, that carries you through? V'hoyisa Ach Sameach. So we learn from, and that obviously is a very great simcha, just like it's a parallel, just like we find there's a greater degree of simcha on Shemini Atzeres than there is on the other 7 days of Sukkot, because that's all that you're left with. When you start out with simcha and other mitzvot, then you take everything away, so it's magnified by removing everything else, all the other distractions, so to speak, and you're left with pure simcha. That's the same exact thing when it comes to Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim, you may, the 2 days of Ha Purim, you may wish to have a simcha. We take away the other mitzvahs, we're left with pure, unadulterated simcha. By some of the Hasidim, Shemini Atzeres is even a bigger holiday than Shushan Purim is even a bigger simcha than actually Purim. Exactly for this reason, because on Purim you're busy with all the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are very distracting. You got to run around Shalchmanos, Mastavion, Mikra Megillah, and Simcha, Sudas Purim. Today, take everything away. All you left with pure, unadulterated Simcha, V'yitza Achsamech.
Lose it.
Yes.
We don't have
Purim. It's an interesting idea. Ear Mekomas Chama, that's okay, it's an interesting idea, because how do you look at that? But then they have the tier list there as well.
How do you express Simcha today? How do the Chassidim express Simcha?
You have a Suda. Yeah.
Fish.
Food. You have a Suda.
Fish.
They certainly have a Suda. People have a Suda today. They have a Suda, and whatever you do to bring out Simcha is what you would do today. Okay, I once heard a shiur from Rabbi Reisman, and he said that someone approached him and was very, and he asked him, why is it that you B'nai Yeshiva, you're a Yeshiva in Tar V'das, what's with you people there? You don't celebrate Yom Yerushalayim. Chof Ches Iyar is in the Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, Yom Yerushalayim Day, when Yerushalayim was taken back. So why don't you say Hallel and celebrate Yom Yerushalayim? Okay, so not going into all the whole controversy, but he said in his shir, he said, I told him, what do you mean? We celebrate Yom Yerushalayim once a week, every Monday. Every Monday, the Shir Shel Yom of Monday is the Shir Lamtzech Levnei Korach, is the Shir devoted to Yerushalayim. Every pasuk there talks about the most beautiful things about Yerushalayim. Count its walls and its towers, and reveal it Lador Acharon. There are such beautiful things. So every Monday is Yom Yerushalayim. Okay, that's what he said. Yeah. Okay. But he used that to open up the conversation. So here as well, there is Chazal way before Yom Yerushalayim. They have made for us one day, and this Blad Mefarshim say this, that we really focus on Yerushalayim, and that is Shushan Purim. Shushan Purim, to some degree, is a Yom Yerushalayim. First, we have to remember that this miracle of Purim took place at a time when there was no Yerushalayim. It took place during Golus. All of the holidays, without exception, are holidays. All of the holidays are holidays that took place during the Bizman Shabbos Hamikdash Hayekayim. Even Chanukah took place during the Bayis Sheni, the Menorah, the Beis Hamikdash, the Neshel Chanukah. Purim was a holiday, the survival of the Jewish people, that took place during the time of Golos. And when we're in Golos, the most important thing to reflect upon is the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. Sha'ali Shalom Yerushalayim. Chazal were very clever in declaring that when we have Purim, we don't just have one day Purim. There's something called Shushan Purim to celebrate that the miracle took place in Shushan. Now the problem is that for most of our Gaulis back in history, there are almost kemat no cities, walled cities, that celebrated Purim. I mean, the only where was Shushan Purim? Purim was celebrated in Shushan on the 15th day, because in Shushan they were given one more day to fight their enemies and to rest on the 15th day. But Shushan was Chorav long, long ago. So Chazal still wanted to preserve the miracle that took place in Shushan in Yerushalayim. But the miracle did not take place in Yerushalayim. At the time of when the miracle took place, there was nothing doing in Yerushalayim. But what did Chazal say? To give kavod to Yerushalayim, we're going to expand the Yom Tov of Purim to be celebrated in Yerushalayim on day 15 as well. Even though the miracle, Yerushalayim was not a walled city, Miyamos was not a walled city at the time. at the time of the Purim miracle. The time of the Purim miracle, the rule was all of the walled cities at the time of Purim miracle, they're celebrating day 15. But Yerushalayim was not a walled city at that moment in time. In order that Yerushalayim should not be less than any other walled city at that point in time, Chazal gave kavo to Yerushalayim and said that a city that was walled, Mimos Yeshua ben Nun, is good enough, like Yerushalayim. And therefore you can celebrate the Purim on the day 15. So what in essence have Chazal done for us by giving us Shushan Purim? What is the lasting effect? The lasting effect is to give kavod to Yerushalayim. Shali Shalom Yerushalayim. And the miracle took place in Galus, and Chazal's message to us is, you're in Galus, and this is a miracle for Galus. Don't forget what your priorities are. Your priorities are Shali Shalom Yerushalayim. So today is a Taka day when we should actually reflect upon the Chashivus of Yerushalayim.
Fits in with the whole idea
They were celebrating
because they gave up hope for Yerushalayim. They were willing to accept. It showed that they were willing to accept Yerushalayim as the Mir Abira, the new capital of the world, as opposed to Yerushalayim.
Okay. Let's go to something about the parasha. Short ideas. Yeah. There are different minhagim. There are some give more weight to Shushan Purim, some give less weight. So there are, it all depends on minhag. If a chiv is allowed to daven, I think many shuls the answer is yes. Even on Purim itself, there are many pesukim that allow a chiv to daven up. So certainly, what? We don't say halal. Even on Rosh Chodesh, there are many shuls that allow a chiv to daven. Just the chiv does not say actual halal. All right, let's do a few short things relating to. One other quick thing about Shushan Purim. It's very interesting that Shushan Purim this year comes out on a Friday. The whole essence of Shushan Purim is really of Purim itself, for that matter, is v'nochu, is a day of rest. Again, what we commemorate Purim, what exactly are we commemorating? The 13th day was a day of Milchama. The Gezeres Hashmad to destroy Klal Yisrael was on day 13 of Adar. On that day, Klal Yisrael had to bear arms, had to protect themselves, had to defend themselves, had to fight. They prevailed. On day 14 is a day of rest. V'nochu me'oyeveihem. Shushan Purim is where in Yerushalayim is a day of rest. V'nochu me'oyveihem is a second day of rest. Shabbos is a day of rest. So it's interesting that this year we have a chut hamishulosh of rest. Now Chazal tell us that if Klal Yisrael will only keep 2 days of Shabbos, Mashiach would come. We do even better. We have 3 days of rest. We have Yom Yudalid as a day of rest for Bnei Prozim. We have Yom Tezvav, which is Shushan Purim, V'nochu me'oyeveihem. And then we have Shabbos Kodesh. We have three different types of rest. A day of rest, a day to focus. That's really what this parasha is all about. Also, it also fits in very well to the parasha. This is parasha. V'shamru v'nei shol es ha-shabbos. La'sois es ha-shabbos l'daros sambaris salam. There are many different expressions. I'm sure you can be marich. I didn't prepare to be marich and reading into v'shamru v'nei shol es ha-shabbos. There are different expressions of rest, of menucha on Shabbos. And this year is an unusual year, besides the fact that it snowed, but the fact that we have three mechut hamishulosh, a real Purim mishulosh, a chut hamishulosh of menucha, and menucha is a time to recognize that it's Hashem's world, and hopefully through that zechus, good things will come. Okay, let's go to some short ideas about this parasha. Okay, with this week's parasha, we learn Vayichal. We just learned Vayichal on Wednesday. Vayichal Moshe es Pnei Hashem Elokav, and we're going to learn again Vayichal on this in parasha's Kisisa. Now, there I saw in Rav Soloveitchik's Sefer, one of Rav Soloveitchik's Sefer, not the one you gave me, Mr. Rappaport. Unfortunately, I didn't get that one yet. But I saw Rav Soloveitchik, he quotes the machlokes between the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra as to when Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, pleading with the Kodesh Baruch Hu not to destroy Klal Yisrael. In other words, there's a very big problem with the way where Vayechal appears in the parsha. Moshe, if you read the Psukim in order, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, I have just received a message. We got a problem down there on earth. We got a problem that Klal Yisrael, they're worshipping the eagle. Immediately before Moshe Rabbeinu makes his descent, and before Moshe Rabbeinu takes the luchos with him and shatters them, we find in the Torah Moshe is already praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive Klal Yisrael. Okay, so let me actually read you the Pesukim. Okay, Vayifen Moshe, first we have Vayidav Hashem Moshe Lamer, but Moshe at this point in time, this is Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Zayid, Moshe at this point in time is in Shemayim, Hashem is speaking, and Hashem says, Ki lech reid, ki shiches amucha, they have acted corruptly, asher he'eleisa me'eretz Mitzrayim, son of Maher, v'chulu, v'yata hanichli, leave me alone, v'yichra pibuchem v'achalem, we're going to destroy them, and v'es oizcho l'gagodol, and right away, v'yichal Moshe, es p'nei Hashem elokov, v'yom eloma Hashem yechrebcho b'yamecha, asher otzeis me'eretz Mitzrayim, v'choyich gadol yod chazaka, v'loma yom Mitzrayim, v'chulu, remember the z'chus avos. And then, after Hashem says, okay, fine. Vayinochem Hashem al horo'o asher diber lasos le'amo. Okay, I forgive them. And now, first, Moshe goes down. He sees what's going on. He talks to Yoshua. Kol milchama anisha me'ein kol anois gevura in kos al chalusha. I see this, this avodah zara. He shatters the luchos, and so on and so forth. But Hashem already forgave Klal Yisrael, according to the sequence of the psukim. It's like as if toivel v'sheretz biyadai. How could it possibly be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is forgiving Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is being mispalel for Klal Yisrael, while they're still singing and dancing around the eagle? Based upon this question, the Ramban says something very, very important. Ein muktom u'me'uchor ba'toira. When it says this section over here, Vayechal Moshe, that we lay on every fast day, that we're going to lay on this week on the second Aliyah, this did not take place at this point in time. At this point in time, Hashem revealed to Moshe, Lech Reid, Ki shiches amicha asher helesa me'eretz Mitzrayim, soru maher min aderech. Immediately, without any hesitation, vayifen, vayered Moshe min ahar, Moshe descended with the luchos, he saw what's going on, he shattered the luchos, he told the Bnei Levi, come, mil Hashem elai, he wiped out all of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, he then told Klal Yisrael, you are in a lot of trouble. Hashem is going to destroy you. Let me see what I can do for you. And then, Vayichal Moshe. So the way it's presented in the Torah is out of order. Okay, this is what it says in the Ramban. Ein muktom u'me'uchor ba'Torah. The Ibn Ezra disagrees. The Ibn Ezra says, no, this is exactly the way it happened. Moshe was mispalel before he went down. And the question is obvious, how could it possibly be that Moshe Rabbeinu was being mispalel at this point in time? So I'm not mistaken. Okay, I looked at this very quickly. Rav Soloveitchik explains, very powerful yesod, that according to the Ibn Ezra, Moshe was not asking for forgiveness. Moshe was asking for patience. Erech apayim. Patience. Ribbono shel olam, I'm not asking you to forgive them. Gadol avoni minasai. Just, we'll figure out a solution. Patience. Don't destroy them now. Give me some time to deal with the situation. Very powerful yisod, patience. Okay, this is the machlokes, Ramban and Ibn Ezra. Forgiveness versus patience. Ein muktam u'me'ucha ba'Torah, or everything is in order. Okay, now, I came across an idea of Purim, which I think ties into this very, very nicely. We on Purim, we send mishloach monos. We send gifts. Chazal were very accurate. Mordechai V.S. were very precise in the words they chose to use for the gifts. Monos. Sending a person a gift. So in a sefer, I think it's by Rabbi Lifshitz, he put out a sefer, the editor of the Atet, he wrote a sefer, a chidushim, called Penine Chain. And I don't remember the details, but he connects the expression Mishloach Monos to a Mone Apayim, that Elkanah gave his wife Hannah. We know Hannah did not have children, and Hannah had a co-wife, Penina. Penina had many children, and Penina would torment Hannah, look at you, you don't have any children, I have all these children, why don't you do something about it, why don't you spoil, why don't you seek some help? And Hannah had an incredible tsar. And Elkanah had sympathy for his wife Hannah, so it says that every year when he would go to Alil Leregel, to the Beis HaMikdash, for the Shalosh Regalim, also the Indian of this week's parasha, Shalosh Pamashon, he would go, he would always give his wife, he would send his wife, Amone Apayim. What does it mean? It's a very difficult expression which Chazal struggle to translate, Amone Apayim. A gift of a face. Apayim is a double, is a af, means one face. Apayim is a double face. And they basically, if you look at the first, they basically try to translate to mean to change your face. I'm giving you a gift to make you happy. You have a ponim zoyafos. At this point in time, your face is sad, it's drawn, it's bent, it's tsar. I'm giving you a beautiful gift, a piece of meat from a korban. It should lift up your face, transform your face from a ponim shel zam, a face of anger, a face of tsar, to a ponim of simcha. So Rav Lifshitz in the Sefer, he tries to explain that when we give mishloach manos, it's the same word, a mone. What are we trying to do with mishloach manos? To bring simcha. What does it mean to bring simcha? To menhapachu, to take to people who are sad. Every person to some degree is a little bit depressed. You need a little thing to give you some simcha. You give them a little gift, you change the person from a ponim of tsar to a ponim of simcha. What we're really doing on Shalach Manos is we're giving a mone apayim. He wants to substitute the word with Mishloach Manos with the word Mone Apayim. Okay, I'm not going that direction. But what I want to suggest is that we know that Purim and Yom HaKippurim are parallels. Yom HaKippurim is called Yom HaKippurim. Yom Kippur is the day that's almost like Purim. It's Kippurim. Purim is higher than Yom HaKippurim. Kippurim. What's the relationship between Yom Kippur and Purim? So we discussed this before. There are many different ideas, many different concepts. But I think there's another idea that we can suggest. Chazal tell us that on Yom Kippur, you have to ask mechila from your chaverim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to forgive lamala unless we are mefayes al chaverim lamata. A prerequisite for success in din is mechilas, mechila ben odom la chaveroi. You have to ask mechila. And the Gemara illustrates different stories. People went to each other, they go mefayes to each other, they have to give them money, give them gifts, they do say the right thing, they do the right thing to get mechila. But Yom Kippur is only a me'ein of Purim. What do we do on Purim? Nobody does it say in Chazal that you have to go to your friend and be mefayis him and ask him for mechila. But you have to send him a gift. You have to send him mishloach manos. And we learned from Chana, and we learned from, I remember from Rav Lifshitz, he learned that if you want to understand the nature of mishloach manos, go to Chana. Because Elkanah, how often do we find in Tanakh people sending gifts? It's very rare to find in Tanakh gifts that make person happy. We find gifts for different reasons. Yaakov sent a gift to Esau to make him happy. A piece, so you didn't send him a gift to make him happy. What?
You sent it down to Yosef Malach. What was that about?
So exactly, but those gifts were not to make people happy. Those were gifts of kavod, of nimos. Where in Tanakh do you find a person sending another person a gift to make them happy? Elkanah, Rivka. To make that's a chasana. That's already you're already happy. There are other we don't find explicitly the purpose. The main function of the gift is only to change your frame of mind, and that is Elkanah to Chana. Chana is sad. Elkanah is giving a gift to make her happy. And what is Mishloach Manos? It's all about Simcha. Mishloach Manos Ishloi. The purpose is Simcha, but it's not Yom Kippur, but it's similar to Yom Kippur. Perhaps when you take the Ibn Ezra with the interpretation of Rav Soloveitchik, we get an appreciation of the difference between Yom Kippur and Purim. On Yom Kippur, Chazal tell us we have to be mefayis our friends to the point where they say to us, I forgive you. I forgive you. You've done an avla, I forgive you. Purim, when you bring Mishloach Manos, did you ever see someone say, here's Mishloach Manos, forgive me? forgive me. Are you meichel me? Are you meichel me? I've never seen someone give someone a shachmanis and say, are you meichel me? So what are you giving the gift for? Well, what did Moshe Rabbeinu, what was he mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for in this week's parasha? This is always the parasha. In a regular year, Kisisa is the parasha of Purim. What was Moshe Rabbeinu doing by giving by being mispalal? Vayichal Moshe Espnei Hashem Elokav. Was Moshe Rabbeinu asking for mechila? You can't get mechila at this point in time. At this point in time, Tovel v'sheretz biyado, they're dancing around the eagle. They're dancing around the eagle with mecholos rikidim, and you're asking for mechila? So what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing? Be patient. We're working on it. We acknowledge there's a problem. Erech HaPayim. Erech HaPayim. When you're giving Mishalach Monos, what you're asking your friend is, show me Erech HaPayim. I'm not asking you, and I give you Mishalach Monos, I'm asking you Mechila. Mechila is something which will come at the right time. But in the meantime, I want to be your friend. I want to be good to you. It's a process. Show me, be patient with me. Isn't really, in essence, that's what we're doing on Purim?
Wouldn't you rather have, I have a chavrus, so we got into a fight.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder why.
So you brought Mishalach Manos yesterday. So, you changed your attitude. You don't have to ask me Yom Kippur anymore. You brought Mishalach Manos.
What's a higher madrega? And I challenge you. What is a higher madrega? What's a higher madrega? Mechila or patience? I think in one respect, patience is a higher madrega. When you have patience, there's a relationship. Mechila, okay, we're done. We're done. It's like I heard on the radio this morning, you're not going to like this. They were interviewing people about the winter. When is the winter going to leave? Give us a mashal. So the interviewed person on the street says, you know what it's like, this winter storm? It's like a bitter divorce. You just can't get rid of her. Fighting to get rid of the spouse. Just a little bit more, but the end is bitter. This is the mashal. What is mechila? Mechila, I'm meichel you. Most of the time when there's mechila, it's goodbye. That's I think that's a very common experience. You have some type of a relationship. It doesn't turn sour. No, let's part on good terms. Machulach. Do I want to engage? Do I want to be your friend? Yeah, we'll be friends. We can be friends, but not like it was before. I forgive you, belev shalem. You should not suffer because of me. I should not suffer because of you. Everything is fine and good, but we're just not for each other. Okay, no, by Hashem it's different.
But
there's something that's very great and very deep about not yet getting mechila and having erech apayim. According to the Ibn Ezra, it's an amazing pasuk. It's an amazing thing. It's an incredible question. What is Vayichal Moshe doing in the middle of the Cheder Egel? They're dancing. Mecholos Rikidim, and Moshe Rabbeinu is saying Vayichal Moshe, and Hashem says, okay, Vayinochem Hashem al Haro'ah. Ibn Ezra, I'm not mechil you. But you know what? I'm willing to be patient. Erech HaPayim. Later, on Yom Kippur came, by Yom HaShem, Solachti Chidvorecha. What? Baslachti Chidvorecha, I'm on the Ragam. Okay, it's different because it's impossible. But perhaps we can say is that since this parasha, Parashas Kisisa, is always the backdrop to Purim, and in addition, we know that Yom Kippur and Purim are two parallels, but they're not exactly the same, because exactly the same, they can't be exactly the same. Perhaps we can suggest is that Yom Kippur is begeder mechila, and Purim is begeder when you mishloach monos, just like Elkanah, when he sent a gift to Chana, it was a mone apayim. It was a mone to, which borders on the word af. Apayim means the same word that we use to explain patience. Erech apayim, it was a gift in order to change your attitude. That's really what we're doing on Purim. On Purim is we're giving mishloach monos. It's like Yom Kippur, where we are mafayis al chaverim, but erev Yom Kippur mafayis al chaverim to the point where the chaverim say mochulach. On Purim, we're mafayis al chaverim in a different mahalach. It's different. It's different. Erech, show me erech apayim. Maintain the relationship with me, and let's make things better.
Well,
Well, but I'm saying it's a getter of
machila. Machila.
Yet we still hope to maintain a relationship.
Of course. All right. So you can go. All right. It has to be refined. But I think there is something here. These two different types of machilas. There's Yom Kippur. There's Purim. On Yom Kippur, we mafayis chaver ad sheyomer mochuloch. And over here on Purim, we send a mone apayim. Mone apayim is like what's happening in this week's parsha. Erech apayim. Okay. Let's go to another.
Kapparis on Yom Kippur.
You think Kapparis on Purim, right?
Anyone
want to pick me up?
Yeah, toss your head around.
Okay. Okay, this is just a ha'ara. We find when the Klal Yisrael made the eagle, we find something extremely bizarre. They took off the earrings. Aaron told them, "Okay, if you want to make an eagle, okay, I need gold. I need gold, and bring me the jewelry of your wives." So the women they refused to give away their gold jewelry. That's why they have a holiday of Rosh Chodesh, and the men, it says in the pasuk, "Parku nizmehem asher me aleihem." The men took off their earrings, asher bi oznehem, they took off their own earrings and donated them for the purpose of making the eagle. So the question that strikes every person, every awake person is, what? Does that mean that our ancestors, they wore earrings? Men wore earrings? Today, what man, what normal Shomer Shabbos? Yeah, what is he paskin?
That a man is not called Lesilvash.
So Silvash, technically speaking of a man, but you see that in the Torah, it's a shocking thing that in the Torah, men wore earrings. They wore earrings since the Erev Rav. Parku nizmehem me'al oznehem. They wore earrings. So first of all, that's a very shocking. So the Farshim explained, that's the one point. Another thing I came across, I don't remember where I saw this yesterday, I don't remember, but if you study Tanakh inside out, you will discover the word nezem is only used in reference to the nose. The only time you have the word nezem used in reference to the ear is by the eagle. That parku nizmehem asher abeoznehem. They took the nezem that was on their ears. That, so the far should ask. Now I remember. It was the Shari Aaron. The Shari Aaron is a parish, like a pshat on Chumash, and he believes it as a question. This is a question like how.
It says it's
right, that's exactly Kasha.
Yeah.
This is the only place.
Right.
Study the word nezem is exclusively used as a nose ring.
Right.
It's a nose ring, not an earring. So the word nezem does not fit with one thing. It's a question, why in general are they wearing rings on their ears to decorate their ears? That's a general question. And number two, it appears that they're not even using real earrings. It's like you go to a store, can I buy a nose ring? And you take the nose ring and you hang it on your ear. What is going on? So the only one thing I came across is that the reason why indeed they did wear earrings was because we connect this to the Nirtza. The Nirtza, after working for 7 years, he says to his master, so the master says to him, that's the case, I'm going to take you to the Beis Din, I'm going to bore a hole through your ear. Rashi quotes the Medrash, the Chazal darshan this pasuk in Choymer, why the ear? The ear which heard on Har Sinai, that kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, v'holach zeh v'kona odon li'atzmo, this ear should be perforated. So what do we learn from that? The ear is the ear that heard. The hole in the ear is the ear that heard on Har Sinai ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. Some of the Farshim want to suggest is that's exactly why they decorated their ears. They beautified their ears. Every single person in Klal Yisrael felt they were to some degree a nirtza. Not a nirtza to an abbas of Adam, but a nirtza to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They had such hakaras hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking them out of Mitzrayim and giving them the Torah. They behaved like a nirtza. And they made a hole in their ear, and they decorated it with gold to give kavod to the ear. This ear heard on Har Sinai, ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim.
Another minute for the Seder, so the kids will ask, Manishtana, what are you wearing earrings for?
I don't know how well that will go off. Now, if we just go a little bit further, the nose represents Chaim. Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim.
Nishama is
It represents the neshama. So perhaps we can say, we can add to this, the reason why we find here, since this was not an ordinary, according to some opinions, not an ordinary beautification. It wasn't a stomp that you wear nail polish and you wear a nice suit. There was symbolic significance in decorating your ears. You're coming to be makir tov to the rebbein like a nirtza that kili b'nei shel avadim. They bedavka chose to use nose rings because a nose ring is a ring which represents kedusha, the neshama. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chaim. At Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael's neshama must depart multiple times after every single one of the dibros. Chazal say they died. Hakadosh Baruch Hu revived them to the tal of tchias hameisim. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chaim to show the hakara, the recognition that Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. It was their custom to use specifically a nose ring, which represents the koyach of chayim, the neshama, upon their ears, kili, that they heard in Har Sinai the Torah from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Another short idea. In this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini no es kivoydecha." We have no clue what that means. I want to see your honor. Hashem responds, "A living person cannot see what my kavod. The best I can do is hine makoim iti. There's a makoim, and you can stand in this makoim. I'll pass by, and you'll see me from behind." And Rashi on this pasuk says, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher shel tefillin. What is the significance in HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher shel tefillin? So I want to say a very simple part. The kesher shel tefillin is the letter Dalet, the Dalet. Part of the Shem Hashem of Shakai. Shakai is Rosh Etevo. Sh'omar le'olamoy dai. Three letters of Hashem's name. Hashem said to the world, enough. The name that Hashem used to create the world. Hashem said, let the world be come into existence. And the world began to unfold. And it was unfolding to the degree where it would be obvious that is Ribbono shel Olam. Hashem said, that's not the purpose of this world. The purpose of this world is that there should be hester panim. I should be hidden. That's the holiday of Purim Yonochi, hester aster panai. And Hashem said that. Let's review this point. This is an important point. When Hashem created the world was unfolding at a pace where it would have been clearly obvious to any creature that there is a Ribbono shel Olam. But that defeats the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is for man to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In essence, that's what Purim is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Purim uncovered his mask. We were able to perceive through Hashkocha Pratis, through a sequence of events, that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. The Hester Panam V'Anochi Haster Aster Panai was revealed. Purpose of this world. So Hashem said, die. Stop. The world has to stop unfolding at a pace where it will be obvious. You have to leave the world in a state of Hester Panim to give man an opportunity to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That really is in essence what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe is a representative of mankind, a representative of Klal Yisrael. Hareini no es kevodecha. We live in a world of Hester Panim. We live in a world that we want to see you. You created us, we're here to serve you, so let us see your glory, let us see you in your full glory. Not just me, Moshe was asking for the entire mankind. Hashem said to Moshe, no, that's not the purpose of this world. You can see the Dalet, not the Shin. What's the Dalet? She'omar le'olamoy, the Shin represents two letters, she'omar le'olamoy, die, enough. Die was the word Hashem. Hashem alelam was Hashem said. Vayom elokim yihyar. The world should be created, but then Hashem said, die. There should not be so much awe where it's obvious. There has to be a limit. There has to be a hidden, so man can find me. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, not just I'm going to show you the Dalet Shel Tefillin. By showing Moshe Rabbeinu the Dalet Shel Tefillin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe, your question, there's a fault in the premise of your question. Your question is built that a man is entitled to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what you're here for in this world. You're here for in this world not to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem's presence should not be obvious. The Kavod HaHashem should not be obvious. The way to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through seeing Him through under the mask. She'omar li'olamo die. The Dalet is what you're here for to see in this world, not the Shin. And that's why it's specifically HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing him the Dalet. The Dalet again represents the die. The dai is the hiddenness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Bria, you have to stop at a point where you allow man to finish the job and see the nature of the koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's one mahalach. Another mahalach is a very simple mahalach. Why Hashem Shalom Dalit is to tell a Moshe that if you want to be happy in life, you have to have satisfaction. Dai. Ezehu Osher Hasomeach Bechelko. Who is happy in this world? Who is rich? The rich person is the usher, person who's satisfied. And Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you want, harenos kvodecha. To satisfy your desire to want kvodecha, you want to see everything, don't have such hasagas. You'll never be satisfied. Dalid, I'll show you the dalid. What's the dalid? Dai. Enough. That's what you should look for in this world. Look in this world to be satisfied with what you have, and that will satisfy your desire of your yearning for more. Okay. Another short var. This is just a short ha'ara. We have, there are two verloch in this week's parasha which are really one and the same. We have the mitzvah of Shabbos. And the mitzvah of Shabbos, beginning of the parish of Shamu v'nei Yisrael, Shalas HaShabbos, Hasar Shabbos, Tar Samri Salam, Beini v'en b'nei Yisrael, Osilom, Ki Sheishas, Yom Asu Hashem, V'es Hashem, V'es Hashem, V'yom HaShvit Shavai, V'yi Nofash. Now what does it mean here, V'yi Nofash? Hashem rested. It's a word for resting. Rashi Darshan, the word V'yi Nofash means V'y Nefesh. Woe to the soul. What does it mean, woe to the soul? It means that when Shabbos is over, this is the Makar why we use Besamim on Motzai Shabbos. When Shabbos is over, the Neshama Yisera leaves, a person's spirit is weak, it needs to be revived, and we use Besamim as a means of reviving the Neshama, based upon the word Vayi Nofash. Okay, now the problem though is why is this pasuk uvayom hashvi vay vayinofash? Does it teach us? Do we learn this concept when Shabbos is over? I'm really quoting the wrong chazal, so you know, let me put this on the side. It's really a pasuk in Bereishis. So I really quoted the wrong pasuk. I'm not going to be able to find it now. So let's just go to a. I'll tie it into it in a moment, but let's just go to another idea. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to give Moshe Rabbeinu the Luchos, it's the same idea. As Moshe was about to take the Luchos down the mountain, Hashem, Moshe is in Shemayim for 40 days. Moshe has the Luchos. He's now on his way down. He's on his way down to shatter the Luchos. Vayifen Moshe. He makes his descent. And then all of a sudden it describes the greatness of the Luchos. Vayifen vayered Moshe min hohar ushnei Luchos hoedus biyado Luchos kisuvim mishnei evrehem mizel mizehim kisuvim vehal Luchos maase elukim hema v'yamichtav michtav elukim hema chorus ala Luchos. All the beautiful milos of the Luchos. The question is, why does the pasuk way to describe the beautiful nature of the Luchos here in Parshas Kisisa a few moments before Moshe Rabbeinu destroys them? Wouldn't it have been better for Moshe to describe the beautiful nature of the Luchos back in Parshas Mishpatim, or back in Parshas Yisro, or in the beginning of the Parsha, when Moshe Rabbeinu is in Shemayim and he receives the Luchos from HaKadosh Baruch? Why do we wait until a moment before Moshe shatters the Luchos to tell us the greatness of Luchos Masi Elokim Hema? So the answer is, because you don't appreciate something until you lose it. That's the Musa Haskel. Here, when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to take them and to shatter them, now he says, Rachmanis, Achim Vei, look, now such a beautiful gift. Masi Elokim Hema, Chorus Al Aluchos, all of these malos have to be destroyed. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu comment on the beautiful Luchos when he got it 40 days ago at Har Sinai, or in the beginning of the Parsha? Because then he thought he was going to have it forever. And when you think you're going to have something forever, then you don't appreciate something. The same thing is about Shabbos. Vayinofash. We have the same word in the beginning of Chumash Bereishis. Vayinofash. Chazal learned from there that when Shabbos is over, vay, woe to the wonderful gift of Shabbos that departs without notice when Shabbos is over. Why do we learn the whole the halacha, the beautiful, the koyach of Shabbos, mitzvah Shabbos? Because you don't appreciate something until you're about to lose it. This idea is said by Shabbos, this idea is said by the Luchos, and the Musar Haskil is that we should wake up and we should appreciate the things that we have while we still have it in our possession. Okay. Okay, let me just conclude with one last vart. In this week's parsha, we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu was told that Hashem will no longer go in front of Klal Yisrael, but instead, Hashem will send the Malach. The Malach will go before us. Vishalachti lefonecha Malach. I'm going to send the Malach. I'm no longer going to go in front of you. You're no longer worthy that I should guard you, but instead I'm going to send the Malach, and the Malach is going to v'gerashti esakrani ho'emari v'achiti v'aprizi v'chulu v'chulu. And then the pasuk tells us that when the people heard of this bad news, v'yishma ha'omes hadavar hora hazeh, this horrible news that Hashem Himself would no longer lead Klal Yisrael, v'yisabolu, they mourned. They entered into a state of mourning. They did not have the koyach to put their jewelry upon them because of the tzar of hearing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoydo v'atzmo is no longer going to guide them. Problem is, back in Parshas Mishpatim, Klal Yisrael were told exactly the same thing. Parshas Mishpatim, Klal Yisrael, Hashem was telling Moshe after he gave them the luchos, that you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, and you should be aware that I'm not going to guide you. You're going to be guided by a malach. Hinei anochi, this is back in Perek Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav, Hinei anochi shlech malach lefonecha. I'm going to send a malach. L'shmorcha ba'dorech v'l'haviyacha el hamokam asher hachinos. Now, simply according to most of the commentators, this pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim was said to Moshe before the Chedo Egel. So Rashi is disturbed. What do you mean? Why is this? Shouldn't this been said later on? So Rashi here says something very, very bizarre. Kan nisbasru shasidin lachto. Hashem here revealed to Klal Yisrael the future. I know you're going to sin. I know bad days are coming. You're going to sin, and therefore, I'm letting you know now that Hashem is not going to be with you. Instead, He's going to send a Malach to guide you as you go into Eretz Yisrael. Shechina meres lachem lo yani ela bekirbecha, but rather a Malach. And here, back in Parashas Mishpatim, there's no protest. Klal Yisrael, okay, fine, no big deal. Hashem, you're not going to go. You send the Malach. It's okay. We'll go with the Malach. Here in Parashas Kisitsa, after the Chet Egel, Hashem says, I got bad news to tell you. I already told you about this last time. V'sholachti lefonecha malach, v'gerashti esakrani ho'emari v'achidi aprizi. And then it says, v'yishma ha'omes hadavar haro hazeh v'yisabol. And now it hit home. It's a very powerful word. They were avelim. When Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you did an avera, they killed their own relatives, their own parents, their own brothers. Doesn't say they were mourning. They didn't make a big deal. All of a sudden, what? What? He reversed it. In Achnami, he reversed it. After Moshe Rabbeinu said that if you're not going with us, then we're not going. But before that point in time, before Moshe Hashem reversed it, it says the reaction of the people was tragic. They couldn't deal with such a horror. Vayisabolu. Haloi Dover? What's going on? Back in Paris, Mishpatim told exactly the same thing. We were told exactly the same thing, that a malach is going to go to Lufan Amach, and Rashi says, I'm telling you, I know in the future you're going to do a terrible aveira and you're going to be punished, and I'm going to send the malach. And go, okay, fine, no big deal. And now, when they actually worship the eagle, and now what happened, Hashem said, I'm now sending the malach, I'm not going to go by myself. Now, all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael couldn't deal with the situation. What's the pshat? So I believe here there's a very powerful psychological lesson that's being taught to us. Before a person is toyim tam chit, the person in Paris Mishpatim, they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. It's a prediction. A prediction of terrible things. But Klal Yisrael said, but we don't deserve it. We didn't sin yet. Because the Shbaruch Hu doesn't judge a person al Shema Asit. So therefore, it didn't bother them. It didn't actually bother them. It's only after a person is Toyim Tam Chet, the same thing that he knew before, the same thing that he was aware of before, but now when it's real, now you understand that I deserve it, that already has that can transform a person, that can have a traumatic effect upon a person's neshama. When we listen to the mitzvah, we read the Torah. What's the Musa Haskel? We listen to the parsha. You go. There's a toichacha, and there are the mitzvahs and the averes. You learn Shulchan Aruch, all the punishments. Okay, not for me. Let's say Rachmana Lislan. You see someone else that's not well. You see someone else has a problem. Okay, I'm not shaykh to this. I don't deserve this. It's not my problem. It's someone else's problem. It's someone else's aveira. It's not personal. So, does it make a dent on us to change our ways? Doesn't make a dent on us. Zero. It's only when a person realizes he deserves it, when a person realizes that the reason why he's being punished is because he did the aveira for real, then the pasuk says, "Vayisabalu," you can't deal with it. The Musa, what?
Can't you say it's even like a double whammy? I mean, think about it. They just went through the angle. All right, I forgive you, but you know what? I don't have anything to do with you. I'll be over there. I'm setting my aim.
But they were told, and that's all true, but I just want to contrast the difference. It's a shocking difference. Look how they reacted to the same information before the Chayt Na'af. It's exactly, according to Rashi, it's exactly the same statement. Before the Chayt Egel, Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, there's going to come a time when you're going to do an Avera, and you're going to be punished severely for the Avera. I'm not going to go with you, I'm going to send an Imalach. Klal Yisrael says, okay, no problem, I'm happy. And then, shortly thereafter, they worship the eagle, and then Hashem says, I told you, you're going to worship the eagle, I'm not going to go, I'm going to send the malach. And they, vayisabolu, to the point where Moshe says that if you're not going with us, then we're finished, we quit, we're out.
I thought you had said this mishpat, but it wasn't you, it was the Abar Benel. Because he says there's two words, operative words, that are different between this malach and the other one. It says in Mishpatim, Lishmarcha Badorah. Different kinds of malachim.
Okay.
The difference between a tour guide and a security team.
Okay. Eino chanami.
People who are watching over you to make sure nothing happens. You can have a tour guide, he shows you the way, but if you're attacked, then you're attacked. I mean, you can't blame me for that. So over here, it was just they're getting a tour guide.
Different type of malach. The type of malach has changed. The type of malach, right? Okay, that's a different approach. But here, a more of a psychological approach to understand the Torah is, being yoyelusev daitai shaladam. A person only suffers when he recognizes that he deserves it. If a person does not feel that he deserves the punishment, then it will not have any impact on him. And the Musar Haskel is when a person claps Al Chait. It's not the time for it's Purim. It's not the time for Yom HaKippurim. But on Yom HaKippurim, when a person claps Al Chait, you can clap Al Chait all you want. If you really don't believe you're shaykh to the Avera, Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu, Dofi. Oh, come on, what did I do already? I said a little Lashon Hara, I spoke during davening, I was Mavaza. This, if you don't really think that you have done the Avera and you relate to what you're saying, it's water off a duck. It's only when you really, when you connect the dots, when you realize, I did this, and there are consequences, then the same information is a world of a difference. And that's the difference between Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Kisisa. It's exactly the same thing. Okay, I am part of you. Look at them, Pesukim, Dukim. They told the same information. In Parshas Mishpatim, I don't relate to this. Very good. There's a sin, and there's going to be a punishment. Right now, did I sin? I didn't sin. I'm going to be punished. So, you know, even if there's going to be a punishment, all right, it's okay. Because I don't relate to it. But in Parshas Mishpatim, Kisisa, where it's shown to a person, this is you. This is the real deal. You're the one who did the Aveira. Now they know they did the Aveira. And now the punishment is, now you unconnect the dots. It's a different ball game. That's the difficulty in life, to go and realize that this is for real. Every mitzvah, every avera has real consequences. And when there are real consequences, then it's a whole different reaction. It's a different ball game. Okay? Afrei lecha Shushan Purim.
I think you're excited tomorrow. If you remember any time.